It's back to school on Wells Tech this week as Sally and I continue our summer software showcase by looking at kidblog.org, a great tool for any teacher who wants to ramp up their students' writing skills online. I have a tip, Sally has a pick, and we have plenty of your feedback to share. Stay tuned. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody, to Wells Tech, episode 251, recorded Tuesday, August 28th, 2012. My name is Martin Spriggs, and I got the intro right, Sally. Good morning to Sally Draper from Sleepy Eye, Minnesota.
Good morning, Martin, and great job. We are old pros at this already.
We will get the hang of it. We had 249 audio-only episodes, and now we're doing audio and video, and that's one more ball in the air that I may drop.
Yeah. A little bit of juggling there. But
that's right.
Today's a big day in the Draper household. Sent my third son off to school, so all three are officially in school. Guaranteed no interruptions during the podcast.
Well, that's good. And yeah. We don't need any more distractions than we already have ourselves. So we are continuing our series this summer called our Summer Software Showcase. And what we've been doing all summer is picking a piece of software or some kind of tool. It's not always necessarily just software. Could be a website, could be something else. And identifying why it is a useful tool or could be a useful tool for your ministry. And we make that a big part of our conversation is, you know, what are some ministry uses? We talk a little bit about how the technology works, what it takes to get going. And I've learned a lot, Sally. I don't know about you, but there's some things, and today's show is one of them. The topic of today's show is one of them where I didn't know a lot about, but I can see a lot of potential uses, especially for teachers now that we'll maybe call this show the Back to School Special, because we're talking about a tool that is very powerful in the hands of a teacher and his or her students.
Absolutely. And we can also call this show the end of the Summer Software Showcase. This is our last one, but we're going to go out with a bang, because today we're going to talk about the Kidblog at kidblog.org. You don't want to go to .com or .net, it's .org. And Kidblog is exactly what it says it is. It is a blogging platform for students.
Yep.
And completely COPPA compliant, so they don't ask for any personal student information. No email address is required for the students to get them signed up. Yep. So right off the bat, as a teacher who signs up students for a lot of different accounts, I really like the interface with Kidblog from the administrative perspective. And I like the interface a lot as well, because it is actually based off of WordPress. So anybody that's listening that's familiar with WordPress, you're going to feel right at home with Kidblog, because the back end of it, the area where you write your blog post and things like that, is exactly the same as WordPress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and because it is WordPress, you have all the features and functionality, or many of the features and functionality, at least the core ones that come with WordPress. WordPress is probably the de facto standard for blogging tools. They've been around a long time, and in fact, a lot of websites, true websites, and even church websites, are run right on WordPress, not just a blogging tool, but a tool that can be used for many purposes. And maybe that's a show in our future where we talk specifically about WordPress and its use in the hands of a webmaster. But today, it's a subset of that, and Kidblog has done a great job at kind of layering all that complexity off to the side and making it real simple for a teacher to manage, as you talked about, and then kids to enter their content. And as you mentioned, the sign-up process is real easy. You can do it in a couple of different ways. You can sign them up, or you can one by one, or you can upload a larger CSV file, which includes their name and password and those kinds of things, and do it in one fell swoop.
Yeah. They call those classes. So if you wanted to do it for all your English classes, for instance, or in my case, all my technology students, I can have up to 200 on that blog, but I can create separate blogs for additional classes. So I may want to break it up and only have, you know, 30 kids per blog or something like that. So it's really easy to organize the students and cross them up. Full class using the blog, and it also is very private, or at least you as teacher can control the privacy. Basically, blogging consists of the people who can write on the blog and the people who can comment on the blog. And traditionally, blogs are very public things. So if you write it, it goes out there for the world to see, and anyone can come along and type a comment on. You can include some moderation where you actually read their comments first, but typically, you know, it's wide open. With KidBlog, you can make it completely private, that they have to actually have a login to even view the blog content. So that's up to the teacher's discretion. You can make it public if you want. You can also control who has the ability to add comments. So if you only want the kids commenting or the kids and their parents commenting on the blog post and not the public at large, you can control that as well. So lots of privacy baked into the solution.
Yep. And Sally, you have some experience with blogging in the classroom. Maybe you could share a little bit about how you've used it.
Well, I have used it in the past, just real briefly with the kids in our technology setting. I think it was last school year or the year before. I'm not sure which. Maybe it was the year before, actually. And it went very well. The kids are able to add photos and embed videos and things like that. And I'm just going to quick share my screen for the people that are watching our video podcast. Basically, what you get on the homepage of your blog is a mixture of all the recent posts and all the people who are doing posts. So you can go to a specific student's blog by clicking on their title and see all the different things they've posted. And you can see a mixture of all of them on the homepage. So pretty easy and intuitive. The kids have a unique URL to their specific blog where their posts are located. But then the mixture allows you to see the whole class activity. And you can also see how many people have commented on things. And like I said, be able to get to the back end of it and moderate depending on what settings you have on the blog. We're going to kick it off again this year. I've already set up blog accounts for my students in tech class. So maybe this will be a topic we revisit in the future, but the kids are excited about it, and I think it's an excellent way to get them writing.
Totally free. I think it's easy for teachers to get comfortable with, so it's not something you need to spend a lot of time with once you've got it set up, and then you can create one for each individual class. And the good news is, if you're kind of curious about how to use blogging or blogging technology, there's a ton of stuff on the internet that talks about how to incorporate blogs into your particular classroom, and we'll put a couple links on there. I noticed we've got a couple there, Sally, from scholastic.com.
That's right. So, yep. Other teachers are thinking about using blogging, even with students as young as third grade. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Additional good news is that we've set up a dummy blog, a practice blog, for our Wells Tech listeners. It's at kidblog.org/WellsTech-2, and we will post in our show notes credentials. So if you would like to log in and kick the tires a little bit, we have a student account set up as well as an administrative account set up, and both of those have the password WellsTech, so we weren't real original with that. WellsTech, capital W through T, and then lowercase ECH. And like I said, you can check out our show notes to get access to that, but a good example of what you can do, and you're welcome to add some posts to play with the administrative settings. Just check it out so that you get a feel for it.
Great. So we should probably talk a little bit about our ministry uses, and there are many clearly for something like this. So let's maybe start at the top. What's our number one ministry use?
Number one is to use it in a journaling type scenario, to have the students writing each day or periodically throughout the week, and instead of writing in their private journals, to have them writing blog posts instead. So just kind of digitizing that whole journaling process. And I did a few searches and found just tons of writing prompts. So if you're looking for topics for the students to write about, I put together a quick DIGO list, and you guys are welcome to add to it as well, writing prompts for elementary and middle school students. There's lots of ideas here, so I think blogging would be a perfect platform for that journaling.
Sure. And posts that are subject specific or topic specific or maybe around a unit. So maybe it's the literature teacher or the language arts teacher or the art teacher or the whatever. So you've got all kinds of writing assignments that can go into your lesson planning and the ability to post it, but not only post it, but then also engage the other students in commenting on it. So it's something that allows you to add some engagement and interaction between students, between the student and the teacher, or even parents, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Third on our list is actually coming in strong for me. As a technology teacher, I'm always looking for new ideas to teach the students keyboarding skills.
Yep.
Back in the day, I took typing in high school. These days, they don't even offer keyboarding type classes in high school settings anymore. They expect the kids to show up with those keyboarding skills. Right. And many of them do because they spend a lot of time online and they are typing quite a bit. But I still have that responsibility, and I try to start it from kindergarten on up, where I'm giving them new ideas for practicing their keyboarding. And this year, it's going to be really exciting for my tech kids because they aren't going to be stuck in a typing program. They're going to be blogging instead. So my idea is to give them a writing prompt each day in computer lab and have them blog a certain amount each day so that they get some keyboarding skills in the process.
Yep. Fourth ministry use we touched on briefly, and that's the ability to interact with the blog poster. Now, if the teacher is posting a blog or a student, other students or the teacher, him or herself, may be able to comment, and you can moderate those comments as well. So it's not it's not wide open. You can control it or ratchet it down or up as much as you want, but the ability to have a discussion, essentially, on a topic or on a blog post is really a powerful thing, and leads to more student engagement. Can be a Q&A, and then you've got something that the students can refer back to. Maybe if it's something that they would need for a test or a quiz, they have it there. They can review it, and they have that online discussion that went on as a result. So.
Absolutely. And finally, our fifth ministry use would be for teachers to post assignments for the class. So using it as a teacher blog as well. And you can opt whether your teacher blog shows or doesn't show in the menu system. And so they could post assignments. The kids could turn in their assignments right there in the comments, potentially. So just depending on how you want to structure your class and your assignments.
Very good.
Having it there also allows the parents to see it.
Yep. So all kinds of control. And again, the encouragement is always to maybe start small, maybe try it for a class. Don't have grand plans that you're going to have to struggle to keep up. You know, start small, have some successes. Pick your class and your students carefully, and then see where it goes from there and build. But this is a great tool, again, free and really custom or tailored to that classroom experience. So you don't have to do a lot of modification. It's right there for you.
So. Absolutely.
Kind of sad day, Sally. We're closing out our summer software showcase series, but a lot of good stuff. If you look back over the summer, a great resource. And again, all of this stuff is on our show notes page. Wellstech.wells.net is where you're going to find all of that good stuff. And you can do a quick search. You can pick and choose what makes sense for you. We covered all kinds of topics, from educational topics to those that are more geared toward the church side or the church office side or just general productivity kinds of tools. All those are in there. So take a look at the show notes page on a regular basis. I know I do.
Yep. Goodbye to summer 2012. Huh?
Yeah. And we're going to talk more about what's coming up next a little bit later on in the show. So let's move on to our regular topic, our picks, or in my case, a tip of the week. Sally, do you have a pick this week?
I do. I have to squeeze in not one, but two educational list type picks. 'Tis the season for lots of lists to help teachers get ready for a new school year. And I found two that I thought were really beneficial in the ed tech arena. One is called 50 Educational Technology Tools Every Teacher Should Know About. It is from the website Edudemic, and they start out with social learning kind of things. You see Edmodo, Schoology, which we talked about as one of our summer software. Look, Martin, there's even Pinterest on the
list.
Look
at that.
How exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, great teacher tool. Then they have learning tools, and this includes things like Khan Academy, Securitive, Kerpoof, and a few new ones that I hadn't heard about, like Carrot Sticks. So if you're looking for some new learning type environments for your students, there's a list there. And then they move on to things, teacher tools, lesson planning tools, that kind of thing. So Quizlet and QR codes and even using TED-Ed or YouTube for teaching. And then just a general list of useful tools, maybe productivity related or utility type things like Dropbox, Digo, Jing, Aviary. I just bet our listeners could find one new thing at least on the site that they can use to enhance their classroom this year. So give it a look. And then the second list is from our friends at Tech and Learning Magazine, and it is 108 ways to use word clouds in the classroom. So they've been doing an article series about word clouds. These are the visual representation of text.
I love
Wordle is one that is online, and we could have done this, Martin, as a summer software, apparently, because I bet if there's 108 ways to use word clouds, we could have come up with 5 ministry ways to use them. I love using it to actually copy and paste a section of scripture and see a word cloud of that, or one of my husband's sermons and see a word cloud of that.
Yeah,
but these are more subject specific, so they have things that are unique to all our apply to all subjects and then are unique to specific subjects like science, language arts, social studies, etc. So I think word clouds are a very visual way to tie in your lesson information. So check out that list as well.
I have a word cloud hanging on the wall in my living room. It was, I think, one of those that we featured a while back where you can have them print up a nice poster and then we framed it. I think it's words, most often used words of the Old Testament. And that's kind of white on black with different fonts and typefaces and treatments. And it's really a work of art and something very interesting, a conversation piece even. So,
66 clouds. Is the website.
That's what it
that.
Was. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, good memory. So,
yeah.
Did you just pull that out of your head?
Or did
you actually
I'm
look
good
it up?
Like that. No, I ordered from him as well. I ordered my husband a book of the whole Bible. So it was really neat.
Very good. All right, let's move on to my pick. And in my case, it's not necessarily a pick, it's a tip. And one thing that all of us have to deal with is the number of bookmarks and websites that we use on a regular basis. And so we're constantly in our browsers. If we're not in like Microsoft Office with Word or Outlook for email or whatever, or Gmail, we're in the cloud working on apps. So whether that is Gmail or Facebook or Twitter or our Google Reader or whatever it is. We're constantly opening and managing tabs. And one thing that I kind of stumbled on recently, I kind of knew it was there, but I hadn't spent a lot of time playing with it, is the ability for you to open up multiple tabs at once. So what I do, and I'm going to do a quick screen share here so those of you that are watching can see, when you look at a typical browser, you have tabs across the top. All the four main browsers do this the same way. So you have tabs across the top. And what you would normally do is you'd come into work, or maybe you'd sit down at home, and you'd have shortcuts maybe, and you'd click on them, and then you'd open them up. But I use a lot of the same websites on a regular basis. So what I've done is in my favorites bar, or bookmark bar, depending on what it's called in the browser that you use, you can put folders. And the way to do that usually is just click on the bookmark bar and click add folder, and then you can add shortcuts to it. So what I've done is I have a work folder and I have a home folder, plus a bunch of others. But in those work and home folders are those pages, those websites that I like to have open when I'm in those two situations. So in my work folder, I have the ability to open up Google+ and Twitter, and in my home folder, I add a couple other things like Facebook and such. And all I have to do to open up all those tabs is to right-click, and I'm in Chrome right now, but in Chrome it says Open All Bookmarks. So if I click Open All Bookmarks, it's going to open up all the bookmarks in that particular folder. It's going to open them all up. And then I have them all available to me. Now, it depends on what browser you're using, what that right-click option is. In Safari, it's called Open in Tabs. In Chrome, as I mentioned, it's Open All Bookmarks. In Internet Explorer, it's called Open Tab Group. But they all do essentially the same thing. When you right-click and click that option, it's going to open up every shortcut or favorite in that folder, and it'll open it up in the order that you have it listed in that folder, and then you're ready to go. So you don't have to go one by one by one. You can say, well, these are the sets of tabs that I want to open for the particular context or location that I'm in, whether it be home or work or on the road, or you could have one for fun, or so you could have one for social networking that would open up, you know, Google+ and Facebook and Twitter. You could have one for graphic apps, learning apps, I have one for finance, so when I get to ready to pay my bills, it opens up my credit card website and my banking website, and if you use like mint.com, it'll open that up. So you have all kinds of options as far as tab organization is concerned, but in the case of opening up those standard tabs that you use in whatever situation you're in, it's really easy to do. So that is my tip of the week.
You are just so efficient, Martin. I'm impressed.
Does that make sense? You know, the ability to do that in there. You probably do this all the time, Sally. So this is old news to you. But
taught me something new today.
All right. So, well, that's good. Always my goal.
Interestingly,
Sally something she doesn't know.
There you go. I'm going to teach you something you don't know, and that is when you right click when you're sharing your desktop, the right click menu doesn't show. So learning all kinds of things in the video world. We didn't see that right click menu.
Good thing I talked through it.
That is a good thing.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, ties right into our next community feedback section. Because we did get some feedback on our first ever video cast, and I think I ended our last show saying be nice and don't give us too much scary feedback yet. We're still learning, and we were happy to hear from several of our regular listeners who tuned in and watched a little of our video and gave us some different feedback, like Cindy Krieger, who said she made an adjustment to her settings settings and used a trick she learned. We're going to have to find out what that trick was from Cindy. But she was able to watch the video cast on her iPad. So she says, amazing technology for episode 250. You keep helping us grow. And, you know, as much as I've resisted this video casting effort, I will say that we are marching forward with the times, and that it is a positive thing to be able to use this kind of technology and demonstrate its use and potential for ministry uses as well. So,
yep, I think so.
Pastor Steve
I'm
Daly.
I'm glad you've seen the light.
Yeah, well, so it's short lived. It's flickering, but I don't know. Pastor Steve Daly, who's up in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota, wrote, and he gave us a little bit of encouragement to continue the quality of our audio podcasting as well. There are many people who have made it part of their daily routines to listen to the audio maybe when they're walking or at the gym or whatever it may be, and it's not convenient for them to watch video. The audio format is smaller and easier to deliver. And so we will do our best, Pastor Daly, and we appreciate very much the encouragement. I know for me personally, it's quite a challenge to juggle all these different things, and hopefully we're going to keep the standards up there as high as we can.
Yeah, and we said that last week, that the audio is not going away, and we recognize that maybe the best way to experience a podcast is audio, because you can take it with you, you can do it in the car, you can do it in downtime or the things, you know, like, it's kind of like an audio book mentality where you don't necessarily have 45 minutes to sit down in front of a program each week and watch. So the ability to do that while you're running or in the car or doing the laundry or vacuuming or whatever, you know, whatever situation it is that you're in, we're going to continue to provide that. And we will keep that in mind. So
I don't typically listen to audio when I'm vacuuming. It's kind of loud, the vacuum cleaner. But, oh, well, when we're cleaning, how about that?
Sure.
Okay. Finally, we heard from Ryan Rosenthal, and his comment was fun. I was wondering when you'd get around to that. So kind of an expectation with technology today that we continue to move forward, and that's what we're trying to do. So
one thing I'm looking forward to, Sally, which will be a nice addition to the show, is when we kick our interviews back into gear. We kind of put that on hiatus over the summer to keep the shows a little bit shorter, is having our guests video, if that's possible, which will give a little bit different dimension. People know what we look like at this point, but our guests would be, it would be great to get our guests on camera. So,
most definitely. Another comment from Pastor Daly, just a little bit about the Summer Software Showcase. And I thought it was appropriate to include his comments here since we're ending this with this episode. He says he's been a little behind on the podcast and is playing catch up. Just listened to the episode about Jing, and he really appreciated the specific ministry applications that we gave, and says this is a great way to approach the series. So hopefully the rest of you are appreciating it as well, that we've given you some ideas to enhance your ministry, be that pastor, teacher, or personal ministry, that these tools can be a help to you. Next up, we have some Digo links to share from Ryan Rosenthal. He shared the 10 Commandments of Internet Research, and he said this looks like good things to teach students and include some links. And I mentioned earlier in the show that one of my primary goals as computer lab time is to teach them keyboarding skills. Another is to make them good digital citizens. And I think equipping them with search skills is very, very important. So this is an article I'll be digging into. It talks about, you know, search terms and narrowing the list. There are different links provided, like evaluate the sites for legitimacy, and it links to a site called Internet Detective, where you can help determine the validity of web pages. Use Wikipedia with caution, it says. Verify the information that you find. Pay attention to dates. So just some good search tips included here.
Great. Thanks, Ryan.
Next up, we heard from Jason Schmidt, and we heard from Jason for a couple of reasons this week, one of which is I'm happy to share that he will be rejoining us as a classroom technology correspondent in our upcoming end of month EdTech shows that we'll be recording. He and Gail Potratz are both joining us again this year. So I'm looking forward to having more images in this video podcast. So Jason shared a Digo link to the mindset list. And this is interesting. It's basically looking at students who are entering college. This fall, the students entering college will graduate from college, hopefully, in the year 2016. And it's just kind of getting inside of their world and their mindset at that day and age. And Jason's comment was something like, it makes one feel old. And I know for a fact Jason's a whole lot younger than me, so I feel doubly old, I think, Jason. But things like Bill Clinton is a senior statesman of whose presidency these students have little knowledge. So just fun things like that from the mindset list.
Very timely. I just took my daughter to college last Friday. So my baby is now at Martin Luther College, and we're truly empty nesters.
Wow. Okay. Next up, Martin, is a pick that you tagged on Digo called Awayfind. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I'm constantly on the hunt for productivity tips, and one of these tips that came across my desk the other day was something called Awayfind, and it is a tool that is used for those who have email heartburn, so to speak, that's kind of out of control. Your inbox is out of control and you're having trouble finding the important stuff. So this is a little service that allows you to set up some alerts when certain kinds of emails come into your system, whether they be on a topic about a meeting topic or about a meeting in general from a particular person. Maybe they have some particular words in the body of the text that you're interested in, and it allows you to get alerts via a number of different ways. It can call you and say, hey, you got an important email. It can text you and say, hey, there's something that you set up an alert on. You may want to check it out. You can say how quickly the alert comes to you. There is a free component to this, and it limits you to, I think, 100 alerts a month, something like that. So you can't use this for, and maybe you wouldn't want to, at least in my little mind, I wouldn't want to be alerted more often than that because then it kind of defeats the purpose. But for those of you that get a ton of email, this is a great way to identify those that you really want to pay attention to and be alerted about. And what this does on the back end then is it allows you to kind of stay out of your inbox and focus on tasks or projects versus kind of living in email, which is the problem that I think a lot of us run into, where we're kind of driven by our inboxes and we spend all day, you know, rooting around in there versus focused on a particular project that we need to get done, or we're distracted by email in general. So that's what I came across the other day. And I'd never heard of it. It's been around a long time, so I was happy to find it.
So I'm curious, can you turn it on and off just like for the weekend or something like that?
Yeah, I think cool. So. I think you can set it, don't alert me during this time frame or that time frame or just work hours, or only do it, at the end of the day, something like that.
Awesome. Okay. One last thing was tagged on Digo, and it was from me, and it's a site from the University of Idaho, and it's called Information Literacy. So it's basically a little module-driven learning site where you can learn all about information, searching, locating, evaluating, sharing information. I think it's really well put together. I did a little bit of digging below the surface. They have objectives here. As you work through it, you can tell where you are in the lessons. And I think it might be good for students to work through regarding dealing with information and, you know, their privacy and things like that. So check out Information Literacy.
Very good. And is that going to do it for our feedback section?
That's it for this week. Yes, sir.
We have many, many ways for you to get in touch with us. You can obviously go to the website, as I've mentioned in the past, wellstech.wells.net, and leave a comment there. You can email us, wellstech@wells.net. Voicemail, we would love to get voicemail. 405 for Wells, that's 405-367-9357. Sally, we haven't had a voicemail in months, so maybe we ought to give a special prize for voicemail. Twitter is a way to call things to our attention. #WellsTech is the tag you can use to do that. Facebook, facebook.com/WellsTech. Digo, Google Plus, the listserv, it's all on the website. So please take a look at those opportunities, and then you have the ability to join the conversation, as we like to say.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, what's coming up next week?
Next week, we are at the top of the month of September. We'll kick off the way all the months in 2012 have, with a 7 best countdown. We are counting down the 7 best password management tips and tools. And we need your input. So, listeners of Wells Tech, please get in touch with us this week. Share your ideas. Share what works for you in regard to managing the mountains of passwords that we all need to deal with and keeping them secure and not all the same. So you got to come up with new ideas for passwords all the time. And how do you take care of that?
Yeah, passwords have been in the news a lot lately with some of the hacking that's been going on, the accounts that are stolen, and the passwords that have leaked, those kinds of things. So passwords are definitely something everybody needs to pay attention to. So this will be a great show, and you will not want to miss it. So our 7 Best series continues next week. Let's close the show, Sally, with the music of Revelation, their song Ancient of Days. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. If you were live, have a great day. If you're watching on video, thank you for being one of our video viewers. If you are listening, keep on listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto the Ancient of Days. From every nation, all of creation, bow before the Ancient of Days. Every tongue in heaven and earth shall declare your glory. Every knee shall bow at your throne. In worship you will be exalted, O God, and your kingdom shall not pass away. Ancient of Days.